Today on Changing Course, our guests are Paul Harrell and Ashley Maynard. Their new film is called Something Anything. Paul is the writer and director of the film. Ashley is the producer. And it takes place mostly in Knoxville and features a lot of familiar faces. My first question is a big one. How does one actually make a movie? I know how to imagine a movie, but I have no idea. It just seems impossible that you have an idea and then it turns into a movie somehow.
I mean, I think that one way you make a movie is you don't think about how hard it's going to be to make it. Because if you fully understand that, you would never attempt it. At least that's my experience making features.
Well, if you've got the idea, I mean, you're going to need a script, right? So let's assume you have the script. You've banged out a hundred and, you know, some odd pages in a screenplay format. Then you probably need a producer. You need a schedule and you need a budget. And the producer is the person who takes that script and then looks at it from a really practical standpoint. How physically are we going to make this thing happen? Can it be done? And how many days does it take? So there's some real practical considerations alongside the creative considerations, which are who's going to be in it and what are all the locations and will all of that live up to the director's vision? So you kind of have to balance the practical and the creative at the same time. And that's what's so challenging. And all the ways you do that get really creative and interesting as well. It's all kinds of problem solving, and you make up a lot of things as you go.
What was different about being a producer of a documentary, Ashley, which you've done before, and being the producer of a feature-length film?
Well, features are longer on the most basic scale. It's kind of like making, you know, five short films back to back. I think part of what is so challenging is keeping up the kind of endurance and interest over the long haul. That was really challenging. And the biggest difference between documentary and fiction is in documentary, the challenge is you have to go with whatever happens. You have to just kind of open yourself up to the possibilities and be willing to go where the story takes you. So you kind of have to sit back and let go a little bit. In narrative, you control everything. So you kind of become a little bit obsessive compulsive, and your job is to make everything go according to plan. And so it's a much more kind of controlling environment and a managerial environment than in documentary, where you're just kind of letting the world take you somewhere.
I think that there are terrors or challenges to either form, because that notion of not being able to control anything, and you might be working on a documentary and ultimately you have this great idea, this great subject, but then nothing happens. And then you've spent time trying to make this film, tell this story, but the story didn't actually happen. And then you're, you know, that's a risk with documentary, but pardon me, the risk with fiction, I think, is, as Ashley said, that you're trying to control things, and you ultimately can't control things. You can't control everything. You can't control reality so much, especially when you're working on the budgets that we're working on. So fiction filmmaking can be tough in that respect.
Let's start with a script, because, Paul, you wrote the script, and it's from the perspective of a woman. Let me just say a West Knoxville woman. Let me just say that. And I know for a fact that you are not a West Knoxville woman.
That's right. I'm not. I did grow up in West Knoxville, but I'm not a West Knoxville woman. It's all true. Yep.
What inspired you to come up with this script? Where did the seed come from?
It's not any single seed. It's a lot of seeds. And I wanted to tell a story about a marriage. I wanted to tell a story where a character was a monk, or who a person who had once been a monk. And in terms of this main character, you know, I was really interested in exploring the pressures that I've seen a lot of women that I grew up with face, in terms of these pressures to sort of check things off the list in terms of marriage and career and family. And, I mean, those are pressures that men feel too, but I think they feel them differently. So I was interested in telling that story, and that's where that came from.
It's really an engaging film, and I have to say the way it starts is absolutely brilliant. And I don't want to give too much away, but then again, I kind of do. the opening scene is when Margaret gets her wedding proposal but she never actually says yes. The subtlety of the way that's conveyed and the way the actress pulled it off, it really set the tone for the film. When you're the writer and the director, how difficult is it to get from what you're imagining on the paper to become the visual reality?
It's a good question, and thanks for those words about the opening. I mean, and it's a great way to start talking about the collaborative process, because for one thing, I was so fortunate to have Ashley producing the film. She talked about budgeting and scheduling, but the really important work that a good producer does is creative, and they are a creative collaborator, and they talk through ideas with you, and they read the script, and they give you feedback on it. So on the one level, yeah, I came up with this idea and I wrote this script, and people have asked me, well, how did you as a guy write this script? And I thought, well, I wrote it, but I'm working with a producer who's a woman. The lead actress obviously is a woman, and there's that collaboration that happens throughout. With that first scene, it was written differently. It was a much briefer scene, and as we were filming the movie, we had shot probably half the movie before we shot that scene. And I realized I needed to do something to tease out her character, her lack of a voice. And that scene came out of a conversation that I had with the cinematographer and also with Ashley. And that scene is really one that I feel like we shared together as the writer.
So Ashley, when you're watching the dailies or you're watching these things unfold, how did you, because you guys are in a relationship, obviously. How do you, not discuss this over dinner, and just like, I'll cook dinner tonight if we can take that one scene out? I mean, how did you negotiate through these waters?
It can be a little bit challenging. When you're making a film, the film kind of becomes your life. There's not much separation. There's not much time for any of the crew, though, actually. I don't think that's unique to our particular situation, but for anyone working on a film, especially a feature-length film, which is done, in a long stretch, that's all you're doing. And you probably are working 12-hour days anyway. So the notion of sitting down and making dinner is kind of laughable. It's probably not going to happen. I think one thing that I do as a producer is I really separate that role from all the other roles in my life. I think you kind of have to be able to do that work, because you have to take constructive criticism. You have to deal with lots of but you have to deal with any unpleasant situations that arise on set. One thing I try to do as a producer is shield the director from any drama that's happening. I see it as my goal to kind of take care of problems before he ever hears about them, and by the time he hears about them, they're solved. So to do that, you kind of have to not be a needy person. You have to kind of be a manager. So I kind of let that role take over a little bit when I'm in production. But luckily, that's only a small fraction of my life. I don't have to live that way all the time.
One of the many intriguing things about this film is that, as a Knoxvillian, for me, I don't recall ever seeing an entire film shot mostly in Knoxville and in places I've been all my life, in the library and just little scenes. And I'm assuming Knoxville itself is not used to it either. Were there any challenges or interesting things that happens when you're trying to scout locations? Were people just rolling over to do it? Or
I wouldn't say people were like rolling over to do it, but because I think that sometimes, as you say, this isn't done a lot, and but there is a sizable television community here in terms of the production work. But making a feature film, there's not a lot of that being done here, and so sometimes people would think, oh, yeah, sure, you're making a movie. I don't think they necessarily believe that that was true. And until it ultimately, was released.
Until they had, 20 people in their living room. Then they believed it.
Yeah, there's definitely that. But, I mean, the community is so supportive. I think that part of that, too, is just that Ashley and I have been making films here separately and together for a long time now, and we've built up or banked that kind of trust with some people, and we have a lot of people as references about the way that we respect locations and the people that we work with.
We filmed at 58 locations in Knoxville. Not all of them made it into the final cut of the film, but a lot of them did. And everyone, by and large, was really welcoming. And some places were incredibly accommodating. We filmed in the public library for an entire week. And the library was open during that time because they actually insisted that they be open because they didn't have money to pay staff to supervise us when they were closed. So we tried to be respectful of the work that they had to do, but they were also incredibly gracious, letting us into that space. But we always try to be good stewards. We once filmed in a funeral home, not for this film, but for a short we did for public television. And as we were leaving, you know, we were vacuuming the floor and polishing the furniture. And I like to think that that's how we leave all of our locations.
I'm going to have to watch the movie again because part of me was distracted because I'm a Knoxvillian and I was trying to look for my friends, you know, especially when you were in the pub. I was like, I know every single one of those people. There's yeah. Chuck Wells. I was really impressed with the cast of this film, and I had to wonder, how did you go about finding this cast, and was it limited to mostly just the Knoxville area?
Yeah. Well, that's the criteria for me in terms of casting, and I know it is for Ashley as well, which is, on one level, making this movie is kind of like, hey, we're putting on a show. It's like some sort of Mickey Rooney thing. You know, it's like, you know, because it's such a small production. But we don't treat it that way in terms of the casting, because that's the thing that everybody looks at. If you have acting in a film that's you know, substandard, you know, it just, the whole thing falls apart. And we're really fortunate to have some great actors in Knoxville. And for whatever reason, you know. So almost the entire cast is from Knoxville. And Ashley Shelton, who plays Margaret, this is her first feature film. She'd done a little bit of television, and she trained as an actress. But this is her first feature film. You know, we auditioned close to 100 women for that role from throughout the Southeast, and we ended up casting her. She was just – and there were a handful of people from Virginia and one actor from Los Angeles, Bryce Johnson, who plays Mark, Margaret's husband. But by and large, everybody is from Knoxville. And it's just – it's a process. We spent nearly a year casting the roles for this film.
Another thing that I think where the film really succeeds on a very deep level is the pace. It has a very meditative pace, which kind of builds into the – for me, what I took out of the film was, if you want to look at your life, you have to stop and look at it. You can't just rush through it. You know, you got to unplug your phone. You got to stop and look. How tricky is it to keep the story going yet sort of slow down – the pace so the story can be told correctly?
To me, the rhythm is really, along with the acting, it's actually the other really important part of it for me, is finding that pace. And because that's what makes film an art, is that you experience it in time, you know. So I mean, one of the things I was thinking about was this is someone who essentially unplugs, and this is also a film that deals with, you know, monks, you know, however briefly. There's this monastic element even to Margaret's life, and so it needed to have a different kind of pace. And I knew that I think that both of us knew that making the movie with that kind of pace would make it a polarizing film for audiences. Some people would not be ready to go on that journey with us, you know, because it would, you know, what is this movie? It's too slow. Why aren't things happening? We were prepared for that, but we wanted to make something different.
Well, and you see that on the Netflix reviews. You know, it's fours and ones. You know, people love it and they hate it. And it's because some people are willing to go on that journey and some people aren't. One of the positive reviews I just read this morning, because it's only been on Netflix a few weeks now, a woman said, I just walked with this film. That's what I did. I walked along with it. And she was kind of responding to some of the negative reviewers. And I thought that was a great way of thinking about how you have to watch this film, which is you just have to kind of walk alongside it. You know, the critics, on the other hand, have an easier time with that pace, you know, with the New York Times or Roger Ebert or whatnot. I think they kind of understood the intentions and had the patience and maybe also the film references to understand where that was coming from.
I do think that one of the real challenges with watching this film at home, because we toured with it on the festival circuit for a year now. It premiered in April, early April of 2014. All those audiences were seeing it on a big screen. And, you know, they've turned off their cell phones and they're just watching it and digging into it. You know, it's like taking a warm bath. You know, you just get in there and you let it, you know, wash over you. Watching it on your computer, on your laptop, when your email's open and, you know, you could be, oh, who is that person? I'm going over to Wikipedia. I'm going to search that person's name or whatever. That is the wrong way to approach this movie, you know. So I totally get it when people are, you know, hate the movie or whatever. And I'm fine with that. We made the movie we wanted to make. But I think that, you know, I've described to people that the two most ideal ways I could think of to watch it would either be watch it on a big screen in a movie theater or in the middle of the night with your headphones on, just with an iPad, just like right up in front of your face and no one else around you and just kind of going into the zone with it, because it is different.
Well, Margaret, in fact, gets some negative reviews for her friends for doing the same thing you're doing with the film, for slowing down.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, she's taking a different path.
Well, let's have a little listen here to an audio clip of how one of her friends confronts her with this slowing down that she's doing.
So you're volunteering at the library?
Yeah, well, I work there now.
Oh, I had heard that, but I thought I heard it wrong. That's neat. It must be exciting to have so much freedom with what you do with your life, to just be able to change.
How's he doing?
Great. Best thing I've ever done. Well, here. I think Mark really misses you.
I know. I know that. We're just...
Look, you have to try again.
I think I might want something different now.
Have you told Mark that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Peggy, what is it you want?
I don't know.
See, I felt that way until I had him.
I'm just not ready to give my life up to raising kids.
Well, I think you're being selfish.
Well, if the whole point of life is to just have kids and then do everything so they can just have kids, don't you want to live for something else? Not just for yourself or for your kids, but for something else. Don't you think there has to be more?
A lot of us are disappointed in the way you've handled things with Mark, Peggy. Holly was just trying to say that nicely.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your concern.